You know ID in the D in the L O A. ID in the D in the S E A. You know ID in the D in the L O A. ID in the D in the S E A.
Hello and welcome to a special episode of the Fabulous Pelton Cast. I'm your co-host, Kevin Pelton.
And I'm Tristan Carcino.
And we are joined by one of the most popular Third Pelton brothers in the history of the Pelton Cast, a star podcaster in his own right. You know him from the Dunked On Basketball NBA podcast. Please welcome back to the show to share his food expertise with us once again, Nate Duncan.
Well, I wasn't popular enough that Tristan actually was able to make time to go out for burgers with me the last time I was in Seattle.
You're popular as far as a podcaster goes.
Yeah, that's right. People like me much better if they don't have to actually see me in person, I think, is what I'm learning here.
No, I severely regret not being able to do that. It was one of my biggest regrets from this last summer. But I hope that, you know, the food podcasting will extend even beyond what we're going to talk about today.
Yes, that is my hope as well.
Yeah, I mean, first off, when we start doing TJ's Today or Trader Bros or Trader Joe's podcast, obviously Nate will be a frequent guest on that podcast. But that's not what we're here to discuss today. We're here to discuss the holiday that is coming later this week, and that is Thanksgiving. And the food is a crucial part of Thanksgiving, so we wanted to count down in classic Peltoncast fashion our top five Thanksgiving foods. Something we actually did on this podcast during its very first year, way back in 2013. And it was interesting to go back, and I compared, and my list has changed. So I'm curious to see whether yours has changed, Tristan.
The takes are hotter.
Meteoric growth of the podcast has changed your taste. You're just truffled gravy and caviar turkey is all you have these days.
That's interesting. Those did not crack my top five.
All of mine are much more burger related now. Yeah. I literally just got finished eating a Thanksgiving burger. So I'm trying to combine everything.
Do you want to give your review here? You gave it on Twitter, but do you want to give your review of that burger here on the pod?
It was excellent. I mean, I've always wanted a burger to have gravy on it, and that finally happened for me today.
Should we talk a little about Thanksgiving in general, maybe quickly? Nate, I know when I first approached you about this, you had said you had some unorthodox Thanksgiving food takes.
Well, I guess I'm just really I'll spoil my list probably if I explain what those are. But I will say that Thanksgiving may, in fact, be my favorite holiday.
Yes,
that's good. Yeah, I mean, definitely from an eating perspective, it's the best.
Well, I would say from that standpoint. Also, just it's not like just deathly cold if you're in like a cold climate yet. There's some solid sports going on. And also, you get four full days off, which is really the only holiday where you're guaranteed to get that each year.
Right. Many people do get that break between Christmas and New Year's, but not everyone. All right. So I guess let's get into it. Nate, you're the guest. So let's start off with your number five Thanksgiving food.
Let's see. Number five. I guess I would have to go with, maybe it's controversial because it's not a traditional Thanksgiving food, but macaroni and cheese.
Mm.
So I don't know if that's controversial. I don't think I've ever had mac and cheese at our Thanksgiving, so I couldn't put it on the list. But if we did have it, I'm sure it would be in my top five.
I mean, mac and cheese is just a good food in general.
And it's just like it adds to the idea of Thanksgiving, which is just way more starch than you need. It's just like... Like every single side dish is just like this massive amount of starch. Like that's one thing that I like about Thanksgiving is like regular vegetables really are relegated to the sidelines. And it's all just like meat and starch, basically.
Pretty much. Yeah. It's you're loading up for the long winter. All right, Tristan, what did you have in your number five spot?
So I went with number five as kind of the capper to my list, which would be the capper to the Thanksgiving meal. And I went with pumpkin pie at the number five spot.
Probably like carrot cake too, don't you?
No, don't like carrot cake, but I was saying I could see a sweet potato pie here also.
Oh, spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
And the perfect way to eat a pumpkin pie or a sweet potato pie is with vanilla bean ice cream on the side.
Not on top?
Around it, in the general area.
I can't, like, this is just a general issue that I have with desserts is that the idea of we're going to take something that on its own isn't a dessert and isn't sweet, and then we're going to put a crap load of sugar on it and put it into like a pie or a cake, and now we're going to call it a dessert. Like carrot cake, pumpkin pie, sweet potato pie, like all these things are not like actually dessert foods, and now you're just adding a bunch of sugar to make it a dessert food. Noodle kugel is like that too. You guys probably don't even know what that is, but like, no. But you know, but in the Jewish, the realm of Jewish foods, it falls into that category as well. It's basically like a sugary, like noodle based dessert. So yeah, I just in general, and carrot cake, of course, is like the most egregious offender in that category.
I would agree with that because I mean, at least pumpkins, they're not like full on savory. Like they're still in this more in the sweet family, and I would say that's certainly true. Obviously, of sweet potatoes, carrots, them in sweet is incompatible to me. So I will not eat carrot cake.
Yeah, I mean, at any time you can take something that's basically inedible as a raw food and put it into a pie, you have to do it.
But Nate's really not going to like my list. So in the number five spot.
Wait, I had a question for Nate first. Nate, it's Thanksgiving at the Duncan household. What are you having for dessert?
You know what? I'm so locked in on some of my favorites that I don't even really have much. You know, there'll be some pumpkin pie. Usually my uncle, who like can't cook at all, he and his wife like can't really cook at all, so they'll like go to like Baker's Square, which is, you know, a pretty like mediocre pie place, and like bring over a bunch of pies. So that'll usually be the dessert here. But I'm just not focused on dessert at Thanksgiving time. The rest of the food is just too good. The opportunity cost is just too high.
I can respect that. All right, in my number five spot, I had rolls, which I think are. I know that you're going to be upset, Tristan, but I think they're an important part of a quality Thanksgiving meal, but I think they're more something that complements the best parts of a Thanksgiving meal rather than being the best part themselves.
Is that the rolls that are kind of like they get served in like, you know, like a 9-pack, like they're all kind of stuck together and they're like yellow for some reason that you don't really understand, and and like they're served with a bunch of butter? I don't mind those rolls.
Yes, but
I just want to make sure we know what we're talking about here. Yeah.
They're not stuck together, the ones we've had, at least.
Okay, Nate, what's your number four?
I would probably go with I'm really torn here. I think I'd go with cranberry sauce, but this is a vestige of my youth. There's still a few of those floating around. It's got to just be the incredibly crappy canned cranberry sauce with, like, you take it out of the can and you still see the ridges from the can on the side of it as it's put into the bowl. And then also, you know, this is a quick aside here, but when people scoop out from that cranberry sauce and, like, really, like, take away the can shape, like if they like they don't like, I realize you're using a spoon, but if you're not at least sort of like taking from both sides so it like continues to be in like the cylindrical shape until the end, you know, if they're just taking like, you know, a quadrant out of it, that always kind of bothered me a little bit.
It's like stepping on snow for the first time, like the first snow. Yeah, that's the first
exactly
slice,
that's right,
of cranberry sauce.
Except no imitations for the canned cranberry sauce.
Yeah, can we just end fancy cranberry sauce? I mean, it begins and ends with the can in the shape of a can.
You know, I wouldn't mind the idea of like a little better tasting cranberry sauce with a little more texture, but the whole berries in there, especially because like it always seems like they don't get the stems off the berries, and there's like you'll get like stems in this fancier cranberry sauce. And not a-
okay, Tristan, you're number four.
For number four, I mean, to me, this might be a bit of a wild card, but I'm going mashed potatoes.
That is not a wild card, because mashed potatoes is also my number four Thanksgiving food.
Okay, I thought maybe it would be higher. But to me, mashed potatoes are just a vessel for my number one item, which you can guess what it is.
Which is funny, because, by the way, you had mashed potatoes number two the last time we did this.
Did I? Yeah. Wow. I've been, these last few years have been rough for me and mashed potatoes. But
mashed potatoes, just outside my top five.
Honorable mention.
Yeah.
Okay, so mashed potatoes, we can all agree, have been going down in the last few years. People are out on mashed potatoes.
There's just not that much going on there.
Yeah, I want the butteriest, fluffiest mashed potatoes possible. If it's basically just regular potatoes, but they happen to be mashed, almost completely inedible at that point.
A quick aside, by the way, my father, who came to great fame the last time we did a food-related podcast, is the man who salted his fast food McDonald's hamburgers. The Hungry Man, like, mashed potato flakes, dehydrated flakes that were then mixed with, like, milk and butter Those were a staple of our childhood as well for Phil Duncan.
I don't think we ever did that. We just did probably the, you know, the frozen mashed potatoes that came with the Salisbury steak and that sort of thing.
Salisbury steak, man. We never got subjected to that.
All right. Well, we shouldn't spoil a forthcoming pod. We hope to do one down the road on frozen foods.
Those mashed potatoes have defined what I look for in mashed potatoes, though. Like, frozen mashed potatoes in a little plastic tray has defined what I want in mashed potatoes for the rest of my life.
That sounds horrible.
Okay. Your number four is mashed potatoes?
Yes. I have nothing further to add here, I guess. Nate, your number three?
I would go with stuffing. And, you know, it's got to be there. I have a few stipulations, obviously. Like, there can be some bad stuffing out there.
Yes.
Like, I want it to be crispy to the extent that that's possible. Obviously, having some turkey drippings on it as well is excellent. Getting some sausage in there, especially when it's, like, really well intermingled with the rest of the stuffing. You can't have just, like, these big balls of sausage and then, you know, not good enough sausage distribution. And then too much celery, I think, has been the bane of many a stuffing.
I was going to say, stuffing doesn't reach my top five, but if I see a single piece of celery in that stuffing, I'm not eating it.
I'm with you on this. And even onions, I like onions in some contexts, but I do not want the crunch in my stuffing. I want it to be, unless it's the crunch of the baked, like, top of the stuffing. That's the only crunch I want.
Precisely.
Yeah, but it has to be like one big mealy mess. You don't want to really be able to differentiate exactly what you're eating. So I agree with you about the sausage.
Yeah, yeah. All right, your number three, Tristan.
My number three is kind of the main course. And that's turkey, and specifically dark meat turkey. White meat is fine. It's totally fine turkey. But the dark meat turkey is always the winner.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So turkey is only number three for you, huh?
Yeah. I mean, again, so much of it is just a vessel for my number one item, which kind of pulls the whole meal together. But the turkey, the white meat turkey, can be good. I feel like white meat turkey has a much higher variance, where if you can get a really good piece of white meat turkey, it probably exceeds the best dark meat turkey. But dark meat is always good, solid in every single situation. But that white meat, when it's dry, is no good.
To me, well, first off, you've just explained that white meat turkey, it's the volume shooter of the Thanksgiving meal. It's probably taking a lot of shots. It's probably too many shots because there are more misses than there are hits.
Yeah, I mean, well, so what's your Thanksgiving ritual? Do you guys go to, like, a different place every year? Is it, like, you know, certain aspects of the family will, like, host each year? Because for me, it's, like, Wednesday, my sister does her Friendsgiving. She's, like, unbelievable. She invites, like, you know, 40 people over for Wednesday night because she, like, works in the service industry, and she usually is working on actual Thanksgiving. And then my stepfather, who, like, absolutely kills it then with, like, actual Thanksgiving. So I refuse to go to any Thanksgiving that's not those two, because I know that their turkey and their number one item, which, God, we're really building the suspense for what this number one item is. No one could possibly guess what it would be. Are impeccable in both cases.
It's always been our aunt and uncle for a long period of time have hosted our family at Thanksgiving. And I don't want to disparage the turkey that our uncle is cooking. It's a good turkey, but it's just, I think, an inherent limitation to the form.
But what is Phil Duncan doing on Thanksgiving?
He's going to be going to my sister's Friendsgiving. And then I think he's doing something with my stepsister on
okay. He's got some mashed potato flakes.
Yeah, no, it's funny, though, like, I mean, because, like, my sister and I are just, like, these massive foodies now. I mean, she's, like, for real, she actually, like, works in the industry. Like, she's, like, a level beyond me on both appreciating food and drink. You know, I'm more of, like, a master of the plebeian foods, as we've discussed on previous podcasts. But, you know, he just, like, he'll go to these things with us, but he just doesn't, like, appreciate it as much. Like, food is just, like, not as important to him, I think, as, you know, it is for some of us, some others of us in the family.
Do you feel like, this is a major aside, but do you feel like that's a generational thing? Because for us, like, the young people in our family, all we care about is eating the best possible food. And it feels like the older generation, the, like, baby boom generation, just wants to eat large quantities for as cheap as possible.
Yeah, maybe. Although, I mean, like, my stepfather is certainly, like, quite the gourmet or the gourmand. I don't know what the difference between a gourmet and a gourmand is. But I definitely, I mean, I think it's fair. They're definitely, for our age and certainly the people that we hang out with, you know, nearly everyone that I know is, like, very interested in discussing food, whereas, you know, it's much more hit or miss in the older generation.
Yeah, it would be weird to me if I had a friend who wasn't that interested in discussing food.
Yeah, because you'd... Then you'd have to talk to them about basketball, and if they weren't interested in basketball, then you would have nothing to discuss with them at all.
The conversation would be over at that point. Maybe football, if we're stretching. Yeah. All right, my number three here was sweet potato pie, which somehow did not make my list 4 years ago when we did this. Apparently, I had not eaten sufficient sweet potato pie at this point. But my aside here is that it turns out that the best sweet potato pie is actually now being made by McDonald's. Tristan, I thought you were going to jump in to back me up here, man. Because you also have had...
You know, first off, they have pumpkin
pies. Oh, that's pumpkin pies?
That's not sweet potato pie.
Oh.
Yes. Second off, you did not see...
Imagine not being able to tell what an ingredient was at McDonald's.
The distinct flavor balance.
You're going to have to edit that out completely. Just that was never spoken. Me and Nate will never relay that to anybody else.
No, I think I'm leaving it in. I think it's good. The best pies.
I have nothing to add there.
McDonald's. But no, sweet potato pie over pumpkin pie is a solid favorite there in that matchup. I know I'm alone here.
Okay. No, I don't think you're wrong about that. I think sweet potato pie is kind of like maybe like a hipster pie. I feel like sweet potato pie is one of the coolest pies there are right now.
I usually hate having hipster food takes.
Pumpkin pie is the older generation's pie.
I've already made my derisive opinion known on those foods, so I'll just take it to my number two, I guess. That would be the turkey. I'm more of a white meat person, again, just because the people who cook my white meat turkey do an impeccable job. It's always awesome, to the point where it's even awesome as leftovers as well. I mean, that's one of the bigger reasons that I like it. I think it as like a sandwich, especially like if you take like a little like a French bread, put some turkey on there, and then you just slather it in our as yet unnamed number one Thanksgiving food is really outstanding. So turkey, I mean, that probably turkey plus number one, I would say encompasses 75% of my consumption at Thanksgiving.
Interesting.
Wow.
All right, Tristan, you're number two.
For number two, I went with biscuit/rolls, basically the bread that you're making your Thanksgiving sandwich out of. Because the number one way to eat Thanksgiving dinner is to take all of it and put it into a sandwich. Every single item that you have there. Today I had that same thing, except with a burger patty on there too.
And cranberry.
Every single thing you're having at Thanksgiving, and you smash it all together as high as possible, and you make that into a sandwich. And the roll is, you know, it's holding it all together. If you have a soft, fluffy, buttery roll, it can make that the best meal that you're having all year.
Yeah, I mean, I guess this is more of like the biscuit to me is the more of the role player in this equation. So that's what, or I'm sorry, the roll. Yeah, it was, the roll was the role player. Oh, I didn't even put that together until now. So I don't have it rated quite as highly, even though I agree it's an important part of a winning team. My number two.
What is your number two then?
Since I'm the only person to mention these at all, sweet potatoes, and more specifically, a gif of Vernon Davis saying sweet potato candy yams is actually my number two. I mean, I like eating sweet potatoes on their own. My typical fall like side dish will be to just do a baked sweet potato and eat that, since it's pretty simple and pretty tasty. And when you then add marshmallows and brown sugar on top of that, I mean, it's delicious. That could be the dessert. I would be fine with that.
Should we talk about gravy now?
Yeah, let's get to it. We've been waiting this whole time. The consensus, number one.
Yeah, it's my stepfather, he makes like double the amount of gravy just for me. Like I would say that my plate, there's no like, first of all, like whatever plate I'm using has to have like some sort of an edge. We used to have these great like brown plates that had almost like an inch edge on the side, and that edge was all the way like over at the edge. It wasn't like, okay, there's like a middle portion and then there's an edge on that, and then there's this superfluous like edge to the plate that's decorative but doesn't actually like have any room for your food. Now these plates were amazing. We've kind of gone away from that in recent years, but nonetheless, like I have every inch of my plate that isn't covered by a food item is covered with gravy. And I get so much gravy in each bite. I make sure that each bite of turkey is completely soaked in gravy. Each bite of mashed potatoes is, each bite of stuffing often as well, that even so, with that much gravy, there's no gravy left on the plate by the time I have finished that plate. It is my absolute favorite. But the caveat is you got to have great gravy, because bad gravy can just ruin your entire Thanksgiving. And that of course, is why I'm so fastidious about where I have my Thanksgiving.
That's true. Justin, do you?
Easily number one. I mean, not even a competitor to gravy on the Thanksgiving meal. I mean, basically, gravy is number one, two, three, four, and five, especially because when you're making the gravy out of the drippings from the turkey, which is how gravy should be made, you have so much turkey in there already. It's like when I'm making gravy from those drippings, I'll pull off a bunch of little pieces from the turkey, the moistest pieces, mix them all around so that if you wanted to, you could scoop some mashed potatoes, do the little hole in the middle with the gravy, and that could even be your turkey. You don't need large pieces of turkey. You can have it floating around in your gravy, and it is excellent.
Like, have you, I mean, I remember there was one time, this is my previous girl that I dated. This is really probably the beginning of the end of our relationship. Like, we were at her place. They went for like a deep fried turkey. Actually, what they did was they let's buy the deep fryer, like cook the turkey in it, and then like try to return it afterwards.
Oh my God.
but so like her grandmother didn't really like speak much English. And so she would just like kind of do stuff, and there was just like there was no way to stop her. You know, like at one point, apparently she just like hid like $5,000 in cash like somewhere in the house, and like no one knew where it was, and they just like never found it again. Wow. But in any event, we were like all set to like make the turkey gravy out of like, you know, the turkey neck and the gizzard and all that. And then like all of a sudden it disappeared. And then, like, it came out. We were like, what are we going to do? We have to, like, make turkey, like, make gravy with, like, no turkey. Like, the turkey is in the deep fryer, so, like, you can't really make it out of the turkey when it's being deep fried. You have to, like, take out part of the turkey to make the gravy. And then, like, it came out as, like, some soup later that, like, her grandmother had just made, and, like, no one knew what she was doing. And it was not a holly jolly Thanksgiving that year.
Wow. She ruined Thanksgiving. Oh, man. I'm assuming, Kevin, this is your number one also. Have you confirmed this?
It is my number one also. Yeah, it's the consensus number one for sure. I mean, yeah, gravy is the key reason why Thanksgiving is such a good food holiday, because in no other situation is gravy as prominently featured as on Thanksgiving.
So I was talking with my coworkers about this, our top five Thanksgiving items, and I was like, clearly gravy is number one, but one of them argued that gravy shouldn't even count as an item because you're having all of the other things with gravy. It's not like you eat gravy completely on its own, although you could.
Only decorum prevents us from doing so.
But do we feel like it definitely counts as its own Thanksgiving food item?
Yeah, why not? It's like the defining thing that has, I mean, like what else? Like without it, the meal would be nothing.
I mean, I guess you could say like mashed potatoes with gravy would be like a higher one. But yeah, I still think you got to count it separately, because if theoretically it were removed, everything else would fall apart.
This podcast is getting way too pedantic for me. This is just not the sort of thing.
Without gravy, there's no potatoes, there's no turkey, there's no pilgrims, there's no Charlie Brown. Thanksgiving does not exist without the gravy.
I mean, is this what this podcast is? It's just you guys like obsessing about the minutiae of food like over and over again and like categorizing things. I mean, it's just like just people gravy. Don't get bored of that. Like, you know, it's just not my thing at all. Like, I don't know why you invite me on this show.
Well, thank you so much for bearing with it. I know this has been a difficult 25 minutes for you, Dave.
It's been a struggle for you, I have to say. I mean, I couldn't even come up with anything to say, honestly. Like, you guys are just like, it's so mundane. God.
Please, don't write the iTunes reviews for people, man. Come on. All right. On that note, thanks so much for taking the time, Nate. Thanks for listening, and a happy Thanksgiving to everyone.